from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Hour number 2, Danny and Dusty with you on this beautiful Monday afternoon in the Rose City. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. Welcome. Welcome aboard.
Indeed.
Welcome aboard. We got some NFL training camp news and notes that we need to saunter through and banny about. Because coming out of Pittsburgh, have you seen the push for Justin Fields?
I mean, we saw this in Chicago too, though.
Here is the headline.
Great marketing.
Justin Fields lights up another Steelers practice.
Mm-hmm.
The Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback is putting on a show in recent days.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, Justin Fields is thriving under Arthur Smith's archaic offense in Pittsburgh. And there's some that just say, what are they waiting for? Why don't they just name him the starter? Russell Wilson has been dealing with nagging injuries throughout training camp. And by all accounts, it isn't that Justin Fields is going through the motions and doing okay. He's dotting dudes up, making very hard throws, threading the needle on some throws. And he is also making quick reads and not holding on to the ball very long. I don't know. The offensive line in Chicago was really bad. It was a turbulent time offensively with Chicago
mm-hmm.
when he was there. I think this may say more about where the Steelers are than where Justin Fields is at.
I don't know. I feel like this is probably a little bit of Steeler propaganda.
You think so?
I know you want to buy into Justin Fields as much as I want to sell every last ounce of stock in him, but I'm going to need to see an entire year of productive football before I don't care if he has 8 great weeks in a row. I've seen that dude absolutely disappear and mm-hmm. be horrendous. Horrendous. To where I was like, Tyson Bagen, why not?
I don't think people wanted that.
No, but the fact that it even crossed your mind was like, man, I don't know. Like, I can't. Look, if he's one of those redemption arcs, awesome. Great.
Yeah.
Geno Smith, cool. I'm all about it. But I am not going to buy it, believe it, and mm-hmm. put any stock in it whatsoever until there's an entire year of it.
Yeah, an entire year of Justin Fields being productive.
Yeah, I can't.
Well, good luck with that.
And that's kind of my point. It's like, could he be in a better position? Absolutely, because that Bears team was just, ugh.
Yeah, they were really bad. I think your offensive line is going to be better in Pittsburgh. You have a running game that you can lean on and rely on, an identity of what the team does. But I just don't see how Fields is making these monumental leaps in his development as a quarterback with Arthur Smith, who, it should be said, Arthur Smith as a coordinator was a very good coordinator. The Tennessee Titans had a top three offense in the NFL.
It was vanilla and basic, but they stuck to what they did well.
They ran the ball.
Ran play action out of it, and they took their deep shots when they could.
And they made it easy on the quarterback. Yeah. I mean,
Got Tannehill paid.
Didn't he win a playoff game with Mariota at quarterback?
I think you're right. Which,
I mean,
Marcus, the college quarterback versus the NFL quarterback, two very different guys.
But I think he caught his own deflection for a touchdown in that playoff game, too.
Oh, God, was that game?
But at the same time, I don't buy that Justin Fields is making these monumental leaps.
And that's,
but I think it says a lot about where Russell Wilson is at, yeah, injury-wise, lingering injuries, getting older. This may be more of a fan base, and people that cover this team are feeling like we don't have any great options, so we'd rather go with the younger guy.
Which is what we heard with Fields in Chicago, too. It was like, hey, just unchain him, let him, you know, let him actually run the ball, have a run. That's what you heard out of Pittsburgh now, is that, well, you've already got a pretty good offensive line, you've got a pretty good running game, like, make Justin Fields a part of the running game.
Yeah,
like, just do it. Don't be afraid to run him, because part of this is he's got 1 year left on his deal, and if you do RG3 him, who cares?
You get him hurt?
But you put him out there and he just gets beat up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Then you just kind of go, yeah, well. Like, unless it's right. So dynamic. And this is a note from Brooke Pryor from ESPN as it pertains to the battle between the two. Wilson is still likely in the lead for the job, but if Fields can make routine and splash plays consistently, this might be more of a competition. But even then, they're still leaning towards Russell Wilson.
Well, there's the camp tour that Dan Graziano and, God, I can't remember who else is doing it, for ESPN, though. And Graziano went to the Pittsburgh training camp. He said, week one starter prediction, it's a lot more of a coin flip than most think. And I believe that part of the reason is the Steelers have set Wilson up as the leader in the competition because they believe that's the best way to manage him. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Fields will show enough through camp to catch him and claim the week one starting spot. I know most people disagree and I'm fully prepared to be wrong, but the vibes didn't start off great for Wilson. And I just think the Steelers are going to be too tempted by Fields' upside once they see them both out there on the field. The question then would become whether Wilson is on the team at all.
I mean, look, Russell Wilson and crappy vibes are synonymous.
Especially like, when things don't go as well.
Yeah, and like that's, and if you're the Steelers,
I would love this.
And if you are the Steelers and you do go with Fields, I would send Russell Wilson into the sun.
Yeah,
I do not. You do not want him around.
No, you don't.
If you're starting him, great, fine. That's the path you want to go down. Whatever. But him as the backup after like him taking this whole redemption tour thing, which again, that feels as fake as Justin Fields making these monumental leaps.
We also have another quarterback battle that we knew was going to be very quick, but Dan Quinn raving about Jaden Daniels at Washington Commanders camp.
Weirdly enough, I believe this one.
There is one that is being said a lot as you go through, whether it's college or the NFL. These coaches are now coming through and creating their buzzwords. One of them, which we'll have a little bit later, and I heard it over and over and over again at Oregon's Media Day. Mm. You hear it at Big Ten Media Days. We heard a ton of it from all the coaches. And now you're hearing it in the NFL's connectivity.
Oh, God, yes.
Connectivity.
Yeah.
Being connected as a team. That's a big thing. From a quarterback standpoint, processing. Processing is that new buzzword where it is get the ball out quick, whether it's Bo Nix and why he's thriving in Broncos camp like we talked about last week, and it looks like it's inching closer and closer to him being the starter, whether it was where Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy at in their battle, Darnold's processing a little bit quicker. Jaden Daniels apparently is blowing Dan Quinn away with his ability to process and get the ball out quickly, because processing is if they do this, then we do this, and then getting to that as quickly as you can. Quinn said it's the decision making that I've been really impressed by, where to go, not just the throwing, but playing the position. This coverage goes to here. This looks like we go here. I got a matchup I want. I go here. So there's your skill work, and then there's the processing work, and the processing part for him has been excellent. That's your new. We got our guy. We think he processes really well.
As a talent, I don't think anybody's going to question Jaden Daniels' bona fides. Right? I mean, his ability to throw the ball, to keep plays alive, to be an athlete, to even be accurate.
Yeah, his question, honestly, is maturity.
Maturity and responsibility.
Yeah.
That was always the knock. And guys grow up.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield grew up, guys. Now, it probably took him 2 or 3 years longer than he probably should have, and he would have been in probably even better space. But these guys have the potential to grow up. And if that is the case with Jaden Daniels and the talent comes to fruition, like, that's not surprising. Right? I mean, you don't look at him and go, yeah, I don't know. I don't really see the talent. It's like, no, you saw that. It was, do you trust the talent?
Mm-hmm. And look, why processing is so important, and we've talked about this a lot, it's the 7-on-7ification of football.
Yeah.
It is, these quarterbacks have so much more exposure to coverages. And to be quite honest, with what some defenses are doing at the high levels of high school football, they're seeing so many more things that you never used to see
until you get deep into college.
In college football, until college football was, which is like you'll see cloud coverages where you're going to have, you know, cover two on one side, cover three on the other. You'll have rotating safeties a lot more in college or high school football now. And guys just didn't see that until they got to college. Well, you're seeing that now in eighth grade, 7-on-7. These quarterbacks are becoming more accustomed to seeing what defenses are doing and how they're rotating, which means that high school quarterbacks are going to be more ready for college, and college quarterbacks are going to be more ready for the NFL, because when you go from college to the NFL, there's also this trickle-up effect of offense where we have now the permeation of RPOs into the NFL game over the last 5 or 6 years. And so these guys are coming in with schemes that are being – they're malleable schemes to what you did in college to what you do to the NFL, and a lot more is translating, because college and the NFL used to be two completely different sports when it came to offensive football. They're melding together a lot better now. It is completely different because of the skill of college to NFL guys, and you can do a little bit more, but we're seeing a lot more of the same schemes going from one level of football to the next.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, is that, you know, you get a kid, like you said, in a 7-on-7 camp when, you know, they're getting a cover 9 as a, you know, a high school sophomore. Like, you know, you're getting man on one side, zone back on the other, and having to process and understand that, you know, how things change and how different things can look, so that the processing power becomes synonymous. And it's one of those things where I begrudge the 7-on-7 world, because it's become this like year-round thing outside of the actual football, where it's like, okay, maybe we need to back off out of this. But at the same time, is that a way for particularly quarterbacks and wide receivers and defensive backs to enhance the mental side of the game?
What was supposed to be a nothing burger, maybe something now. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, Michigan has long said that they did nothing wrong. They've got nothing to hide. We've been cooperating.
About that.
Turns out the NCAA sees that a little bit differently. A draft of the notice of allegations, which we talked about last week briefly. We talked about this notice of allegations and what it means for Michigan. The NCAA is finished their investigation. They're ready to prepare Michigan with, this is what we're going to hit you with. And it all comes in a letter form. And then you go in front of the infractions committee. And this is going to take 5 or 6 more months mm-hmm. before we actually have any resolution to it. Because lawyers were going to lawyer on this. But the draft of the notice of allegations obtained by Dan Murphy and Pete Thamel of ESPN, they reveal that it was quite more serious than what Michigan led on. And Michigan was not fully cooperative, as they had said several times, with the NCAA. According to the notice of allegations, and this is only part of the notice of allegations that they were able to get their hands on, you have got several members of the Michigan staff had knowledge of what was going on. Mm. They say Jim Harbaugh, because he was so uncooperative, they don't know exactly what he knew, but he
had up just right.
He had a failure to monitor the whole situation going on here. They mentioned Chris Partridge, who is now a coach for the Seattle Seahawks. Mm. Denard Robinson, who got a Dewey and he had to resign his post this spring.
Oops.
He had knowledge of what was going on. And Connor Stallions, all of those guys, all four of those men, are facing level one violations, which are the highest that anybody can mm-hmm. have in the NCAA. And that means that they could get hit with the show cause, which means multiple years where they cannot coach if they do try to go and coach college sports again. But I think when you look at, I don't know, everybody bolting to the NFL the way they did.
They knew.
Probably knew that this was not good in coming down the pipeline for
we'll call that the old Chip Kelly.
Well, or Pete Carroll.
Or Pete.
You could do both of them. You could do both
of them. Did Pete get hit with the show cause?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he
did. I don't remember him getting hit with the show cause.
Yeah, I think he got like a 7-year show cause.
Is that what it was?
Pete got hit with the big one. But you have Sharon Moore is now in the crosshairs of this. The man who was very vocal that they did nothing wrong. He was the man who stood in for Jim Harbaugh.
Cried even.
Won several games. Yeah, after the Penn State game, cried. He's now the head coach of the Wolverines, and he could be facing a show cause penalty and suspension of his own.
Head liar in chief.
Apparently, he deleted a thread of 52 text messages with Connor Stallions in October.
So perfect. Not one, not two, not three,
52 in October of 2023. Remember when all of this came to be like the big wave was early November when Connor Stallions resigned his post. 52 text messages between Sharon Moore and Stallions were deleted,
and he did it on the freaking university phone.
Yeah, and so
get a freaking burner, you dumbasses.
But what
I don't understand it.
What they're saying is that they went and they used device imaging to recover the text messages that were deleted.
And because all they need to do is get, because it's a university phone, it's subject to FOIA, and they can just go grab it, they can clone it, and they can go, huh. When we look at this, it shows that X amount of messages were sent, but yours only shows Y amount of messages. Why doesn't that add up? Well, then they just start going through line by line by line and finding what's missing, and guess what? You're screwed.
Stallions, it's kind of smart on Stallions' part on this. They found out that this happened for 13 opponents in over 58 games that the whole spying thing was going on. He convinced the interns of the program, no, what we're doing is on the up and up, guys. Like, this is fine, including obtaining a play call sheet from an opponent, giving it to a player, and then the player was supposed to take it to an intern's house to where Stallions would go and retrieve it from the intern later.
Totally normal.
Yeah, I mean, this is nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Look, they're not going to vacate any wins. I like that. They don't vacate a national title. the NCAA, according to the reporting of Thamel and Murphy, is that that's not what the NCAA is going to do. It's one of the dumbest things that the NCAA does. We all know Louisville won the national title.
Yeah.
I know that USC won the national title. I watched those games.
Yes, it happened.
I watched them do it. Vacating wins is stupid, and they shouldn't do that.
Just fine them.
And that's what Michigan is asking for. But what the new news here is that Sherrone Moore may be in a little bit of hot water that Jim Harbaugh found himself in just last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he may get a suspension, and Michigan is saying, we just want a monetary fine on all of this. I don't believe Michigan is the only program that was doing this.
They just had a better look. They just had a better system.
I mean, it happens far more often than you think. And I think that a lot of us have this like Pollyanna view of what's going on in our world of sports. No.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
It happens all the time. And the things that there's an article Athlon Sports put out about the culture of Colorado football right now,
mm-hmm.
and how I think where Deion is losing his locker room is that he and his staff are protecting their kids that are on the roster. And that's where it's crossing a line, and players are like, screw this. But the whole point of the Athlon article is that they are fighting during practice. Mm-hmm. They're fighting in the locker rooms.
It's Washington Wizards-esque. A lot of gambling, a lot of guns, a lot of problems.
There's gambling happening. There's guys with guns. If you don't think that there are fights on the practice field, like coaches close practice, and we talked about this, they're going to start charging to go to practice. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why coaches want to close practice to people is so you don't see that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it gets to a point where fights happen during practice.
Every practice. Good Lord.
I wouldn't say every practice, but it happens a lot.
No, I mean in training camp.
Every single program will have a couple of fights every year where emotions boil over. Every so often, you'll have fights in the locker room, too.
Full-on drag out. Guys get cut. Guys get black eyes. They tripped and fell.
Yeah. These things happen.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a violent combat sport with a bunch of dudes in their 20s who want to tear each other's heads off because there's a limited amount of pie. A
lot of high tea going on. The point of like the Deion article, though, is that what's happening is they are like Shiloh Sanders slapped Cremonti McClain after the Oregon State game last year. And McClain said, I'm going to kill you. And wanted to fight him. But what happened the very next media availability for Deion Sanders? He said Cremonti McClain is in the doghouse. That wasn't because he didn't play effectively against Oregon State. It was because he got into an argument with Deion's kid. And there were several instances where, whether it is Keith Mitchell, who's a defensive backs coach, and his kid getting into it, over a $10,000 gambling debt that he had to a backup quarterback. And the backup quarterback was like, I couldn't say or do anything about it. They got into a fist fight in the locker room over 10 G's. That's a lot of money for college kids to be gambling.
Yeah, I remember when 10 bucks was a lot.
But
NIL's a little different.
I've seen fights over far less money.
Yes, right?
$5.
I've seen fights over 20, look, man, 100 bucks. You know,
those Taco Bell dinners used to be a lot cheaper.
Times have changed, apparently. But the whole thing is that every player on that team felt that there was going to be retribution from the staff because they had kids that were on the roster. And that is a big problem at Colorado, and that's why guys are leaving left and right. But you don't really want – I think a lot of people don't really want to know how the sausage is made, right?
No.
Like the whole thing about the Houston Astros cheating scandal, they took it a step further than everybody else. But the reason why Major League Baseball intervened in the first place is because they all were warned because they knew so many teams were cheating.
Yeah, remember, I mean, what was it, though? Red Sox with the Apple Watch?
Red Sox, Yankees, both. Yeah. One got caught and the other one said, no, they're doing it too. And they're
where do you think we learned it from?
Yeah. There's a podcast that said that one of the guys who really ramped up the Astros thing came from the Mariners and was insisting
Whoa.
That the Mariners... Yeah. Apparently it didn't matter.
Whoa.
apparently it didn't matter.
Look, if you
but they all just issues. They all just got together and they said, okay,
let's exchange ideas.
What did you learn in Seattle? What did you learn in Boston? What did you learn in New York? Let's kick this up a notch in Houston. And they went way beyond.
Look, the reason you got the they doth protest too much when it came to other Big Ten schools. Because they had their own programs going, too, and they're like, whoa, 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 we could be this egregious with it? That's the reality of it. Everyone was doing it.
Yeah. I think that the big thing here, though, is Michigan, they went the way of the Astros. They crossed way too many lines. They went way too far with
it. They went all the way to Plaid.
Stallions being on the sideline in Central Michigan gear as they played Michigan State. you can't do that.
That is the most unhinged thing in
with
all
your,
of this.
With your Ray-Bans that can record, and you're sitting there recording their sideline.
Enhance.
Nope.
Enhance.
No. People aren't going that far.
I mean, somebody was.
Well, Michigan was.
Speaking of going too far, how far would you go to celebrate your Olympic gold medal? That and more. But first, here's Big Will Betts of the Sports Center Update.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
You know, we opened the show and mentioned that I might have to say, do you know who I am, to get my cable turned or my internet turned back on.
Yeah.
How far would you go, though, if do you know who I am entailed winning an Olympic gold medal?
It doesn't matter. I'll do it. I would never pull the do you know who I am, but I'd flash that son of a gun everywhere.
But what if your name is Justin Best and you're a junior analyst at Union Square Advisors and your LinkedIn also has a dash Olympic champion?
Badass. That's pretty good.
This is not a worst day on the web in the sense of this is a bad thing for him.
Yeah.
But I do.
What did he win his medal in?
I can't remember.
Fencing. XL.
Have we heard, like, it is crazy. Some of these athletes that are
that go back Olympians. To regular world.
Well, no, like I was looking at
rowing.
Rowing.
Yeah.
You said junior analyst, and I was like, yeah, he's probably went to Stanford.
Drexel.
Drexel. Yeah. There we go. I was seeing that like Kristen Falker, who she gave up her career in venture capital. To start cycling.
Is this a cyclist?
Yeah.
And she turned out to be a world-class cyclist.
She didn't cycle until she was out of college and was like, you know what? I think I'm pretty good at this. Like, well, I ride my bike fast.
She had to ride her bike to work because she moved to New York City and she for a junior analyst kind of a deal. And New York City, you can't drive. And so she ended up like riding her bike and it turned out she was really good at it.
And then she wasn't even supposed to race in the Olympics and somebody got hurt and she won a gold medal.
Yeah.
Like, what?
The first Olympic road medal for the U.S. in, like, 40 years?
I think I was looking at also Lee Kiefer, who's a, I think that's her name? Lee Kiefer? Kiefer, maybe? She's an American fencer.
The fencer. Okay,
and
yeah.
She's got, like, 3 gold medals. Mm-hmm.
And she looks like she's 12.
Yes. She's 30.
Yeah, no, she looks like a little kid that's insane.
Her bio is she put medical school on pause to pursue her Olympic career. Like, when you're just sitting there and you're like, they're better at life than you? Yeah.
Yeah.
They kind of are.
Yeah, and you're just because like, wait, what?
Her mom and dad and 2 siblings are all doctors. And they're probably looking at her like, yeah, cool fencing gold medals, you know?
How about you save somebody's life?
Yeah, go change the world a little bit, Lee. What are you doing? But she's going to go back to medical school and probably, like, cure cancer.
Also, we don't pay people enough for winning gold medals.
I've seen the United States doesn't.
No.
But, I mean, because we win a lot of them. But I've seen that, like, some countries, it's, like, close to $1 million. In the United States, I think it's $140,000 or something like that. There's a graphic popping around on social media. But I'd do the same thing.
No,
I'd put that
Team
on my
USA
LinkedIn.
Team USA is $37,500.
For a gold medal?
Oh, no, $50,000.
What is that in inflation?
For a gold?
Yeah. So this is straight from the NBC Olympics page. Yeah, 50,000.
That's it?
Yeah.
I thought it was over 100. Wow.
Yeah, it's tough out here.
Yeah, we need to change that. But then again, we win a lot of gold medals here. These Olympics, I'm having to I'm dancing a line here with my son. My son now hates China.
Mm.
That
rocks.
He hates China. Mm. And like he's like sounds we're like watching the job. Games and he's like I hate those guys. And I was like, "Why? Like what's going on? Like why do you hate China so much, bud?" And he's like, "Well, they just won a gold medal. They can't win more gold medals in the United States." He's got so much America running through him.
Look at you raising a proud little xenophobe. I like it.
But it's like, bud, like it's a slippery slope here because he really wants America to win this gold medal count. It's the first thing he asks the damn Alexa in the morning is how many gold medals, what's the medal count? Mm. And I'm like, well, I mean, we're kicking their butt in every other medal. And he's like, it's not first place. And I'm like, God, am I raising Ricky Bobby?
I don't know,
like,
man.
What am I doing? If you're not first, you're last. I was like, dude, we have like 75 medals. They got 45. He's like, yeah, but they got 21 gold and we only have 19.
Yeah, it sounds like you're raising a big fan of Taiwan.
Golly. Jeez, it's amazing how quickly he just turns on to being a little xenophobe. And I'm just like, when he said, I hate those guys, I was like, oh, boy. Like, what are we doing here? Mm. Like, what? I was like, is my kid racist? Mm. No, just turns out loves America so much, wants him to win all the golds.
Hates everyone, equally.
Yes, but he's got it out for China because the French, they're like way back there. You know,
where do you stand on the medal count? Whether this has been this whole thing where Australia keeps touting, like, because they won some, they were ahead in golds. They're like, no, the medal count starts and is sorted by who wins the most golds because they won early golds.
Yeah, I just think
it's points.
Our superiority is we're top three in everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if we're not number one in golds, I think we have some work to do as we head to the LA games in 2028.
But also, isn't it also like, I'm a points guy.
Yeah.
5-3-1. 5 for gold, 3 for silver, 1 for bronze.
Yeah. We're going to lap the entire world with that.
We talked about this coming into the Olympics. The U.S. is over the course of Olympic history, they have something like 20 of just short of 3,000 golds. The next closest had less than 1,500.
Hmm.
Like it's no one is even remotely close.
Not even close.
And I believe that was the USSR.
I think what we're going with though is track and field better come through, or it's going to be real bad international relations with my son in China.
I mean,
track and field, we need to pop.
I mean,
like, we really need to win some more golds.
You don't see a lot of Chinese gold medals in track and field.
No. But, I mean, who knows? Gymnastics is over. Swimming is over. They're powerhouses at that.
Yep.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
Rhythmic diving.
Did you see that women's diving team that looked like they were copied?
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Holy crap.
It's pretty crazy.
I didn't realize it was a tandem until they hit the water.
Until
the very end.
Yeah, it was like,
that's nuts.
Oh my. I've never seen somebody synced up like that on a dive.
But we got Cook and Bacon.
We do.
Pretty awesome.
Did you know that there's two Bacons?
Kevin?
No. Three. There's two Bacons in the Olympics. Two women. One's a swimmer, one's a diver.
But are they related?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know how common the last name Bacon is.
And how many degrees of separation do they have from Kevin?
Not a lot, dude. It's definitely not seven.
Yeah, no.
Their name is literally Bacon. Way closer than seven.
If you want a gold medal, you putting that in your bio and everything you have?
Yeah.
Olympic champion?
Uh-huh.
Or are you putting gold medalist?
Hell, I might do it right now on my Twitter bio.
It's in the profile picture, dude.
And I mean, like, what are you putting? You putting gold medalist, world champion, Olympic champion? What are we going with?
Gold medalist.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like world
gold
champion.
Medalist. Gold medalist.
World champion's pretty good.
That is, but like you can't do that in track and field or athletics, as they call it, because they have the world championships. So,
yeah. Olympic champion?
Olympic champion, yeah. I'm just going gold medalist.
Olympian?
Yeah.
No, you don't. That sells it short.
Well,
there's plenty of Olympians. Look, man. I was watching, God, what was I watching the other day? It was some event where there was like 10 competitors in a final. And as I watched it, I was like, okay, the top three here are insane.
Mm-hmm.
I think, it was one of the distance events on track and field. The top three runners were insane.
Yeah.
The rest of the pack was like, this is how disgusting I was. What are you even doing there?
Yeah, why are you here?
Like, they were so far behind. I'm like, you're nowhere near their level. What are you doing here? And it's like, it sounds so twisted and stupid and awful for me to say from my couch.
Yeah.
But it was also like, there's a galaxy between you and those guys.
Yeah, but then if you want to play that game, like, Katie Ledecky should have been the only person in the 1500.
Well, yes.
Swimming.
She also, that's also true.
Thanks for showing up, guys.
It was very funny to see the comparison between her winning her ninth gold medal and the other American woman won her first medal as a bronze. Ledecky went up on the swim deck just gangster as hell. Little nod, threw up a nine.
Yeah.
Like, no biggie. Meanwhile, the woman who just won her bronze was her first medal, was just bawling, just sobbing out of her mind. It was like, oh, that's right. There's a difference between these two.
Yeah. And that was last night in the uneven bars. We were watching Suni Lee took a bronze medal in the uneven bars. And again, I'm raising a mix between Ricky Bobby and Kenny Powers, apparently. My son goes, what is she so excited for? She took third. And I was like, dude, she got a bronze medal. She's the third best in the world.
And she had a massive mental breakdown and wasn't even sure she could make it to the Olympics.
He's like, yeah, all right. I was like, dude, I'd be super proud of you if you were the third best in the world at anything.
Mm.
And then my wife's like, you'd be proud of him if he was last at anything. I'm like, no, let's not go by that far.
Also, didn't Suni win bronze in the all-around as well?
I don't know.
I
have no idea.
Yeah.
But it's like, dude, it's really good to win a medal in the Olympics.
And you saw what what Suni and Simone did for the Brazilian medalist, right?
That was Jordan Chiles.
Was it Jordan? Okay.
Yeah.
What they did to her? Was it Andre?
Prairie's own Jordan Chiles.
Oh, local Prairie girl. Prairie High School.
Which is interesting because Oregon technically claims her.
Well, they should not because there's a river that separates us, and on our side, we don't pay income tax.
Was she born here, I wonder?
I don't even think she was born in Washington. She just grew up in Washington, went to Nadenov's, and then once she was like 17 or 18, became an elite gymnast, they sent her to the elite gymnast school in Texas. I read the Wikipedia page.
There you go.
Mildly
stalkerish.
I pay attention to things I care about.
I read Wikipedia pages.
You just said I'm well read.
Yeah. I am. Yeah, I have a book. I read coming like on Amazon
4 wiki links a day.
My apartment room smells of rich mahogany and whiskey.
I think that's the last thing.
There you go.
Like maybe like puke. Whiskey vomit.
I have not puked in my room, and I have two Febreze Glade air fresheners. So
look at you,
that nerd.
Look at you.
Life.
I bet you need them because your shoes probably stink.
Old no comment.
Old Stankfoot over here. All right, going from Olympic greatness, the best of the best, to the worst the sporting world has to offer. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
The Chicago White Sox are inventing ways to suck. It's actually kind of incredible. If you go back to 2020 and you look at who was on their roster, they were a team that was primed to have a breakout. They have 10 guys who have left that team and been successful basically everywhere because they don't pay anybody. And I think that Jerry Reinsdorf uses the White Sox as a tax write-off at this point in time.
It's got to be so tough to be a fan of the Chicago White Sox.
He must love John J. Fisher because he is carrying the torch for just ineptitude.
Boy, you're not kidding.
While the White Sox are drafting the A's in horrible, horrible play.
The thing that is crazy to me, and this is why it's so dejecting to be a White Sox fan right now, is that every team that is as bad as they are has a specific direction that they are going in. Mm-hmm. At least what the A's are doing is saying, we're trying to moneyball. Like, we know we're strapped for cash and we're broke boys.
Our owner sucks and he doesn't have any money and this is the way we have to do things forever. Yeah.
And we, every now and then, they're competitive. The A's, who they play today, have twice as many wins as they do, as the White Sox do. And there is no direction with the White Sox. We have seen teams intentionally tank, whether it was their crosstown rival, the Cubs on the north side, when Theo took over and they drove that thing right into the side of the mountain and then they built it back up. The Astros, the Red Sox, hell, to an extent, the Dodgers did it for a couple of years where they said, we're not going to be competitive and then we're just going to go whoop, pay everybody and build up our minor league system. They don't have a direction. They don't. Like, they just exist to suck. And that is got to be wildly frustrating. And everybody wants out. Nobody wants to be there. It's awful if you're a White Sox fan because the direction is nowhere. You're heading just straight down into hell.
Here's what they're presented with tonight. They have lost 20 straight games.
Yeah.
They can equal the 88 Orioles for the worst streak in AL history.
That is 36 years ago.
They are three away from the modern era record held by the 63 Phillies. Six off of the Major League Baseball record of the 1889 Louisville Colonels.
Yeah. It's brutal to think about how bad they are. So,
and they play the A's.
Well, they actually have a shot against the A's because the A's are 46-67. And it's like, oh, they must clean up against, you know, bad teams. No, most of their wins are 25 of their wins are against teams over 500. They're not good against the bad teams. They're not good against bad teams. They're only 21-16 against teams under 500. Here's how bad the White Sox are, though. If you take out the 20-game losing streak that they currently have going, and the 14-game losing streak they had earlier in the year.
That's 34 losses.
Okay. Their winning percentage would still be the worst in Major League Baseball.
Because they have a .237 winning percentage because they're 27-87. Here's what's truly disgusting.
Think about that. You take out the two longest streaks in baseball this season, and they still would have the worst win percentage in baseball. They are absolutely dreadful.
Doing quick math here, 247.
And I love what Ozzie Guillen said at the trade deadline. He's like, all these guys want to get traded. Why? You suck.
They are losing.
He's like, nobody wants you.
they are losing every single game. Every single game.
Yeah.
Over the course of this season so far. By 2.17 runs per game. Now, I'm not talking about the games they've won. Their run differential is so poor that they are negative 2.17 runs per game.
And that accounts for games they actually win. Good Lord.
That's insane.
They're getting just pumped.
They are 67 runs worse than the next worst run differential, which is the Colorado Rockies, who are also really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, they are really bad. Well, maybe it ends against the A's. It ends against the A's.
For reference.
I'm wearing my A's shirt today. Actually, not an A's shirt. I'm wearing my last dive bar shirt.
There you go.
Who's trying to, you know, stick it to John J. Fisher, so I bought a shirt.
The A's
support the cause.
Have 19 more wins. They have a minus 73 run differential.
Yeah. Well,
I believe if you changed the 20-game losing streak that Chicago has right now and the 14-game losing streak they had before, made those wins, they're still behind every team in the Central but the Tigers.
34
more wins.
34, that would only put them up to 61 wins. They'd be third.
That was the stat from Sunday that I saw.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be 61, and they'd be third. They'd be behind the Guardians and Twins in that division. No, wait, holy smokes, the Royals too. They'd be fourth.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah,
they'd only be ahead of Detroit.
Wow,
Detroit. See, I'm well read.
They're so bad. Did you find that on Wikipedia?
ESPN.com.
Oh, sick.
I'm babe.
Wow.
So there you go. Whenever you think your team's doing bad, just unless you're a White Sox fan, it's not doing that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, they were the hot team when we were, like, early 90s when we were growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, the
Albert Bell, Frank Thomas.
Yeah, Frank Thomas was
the big hurt, baby.
It was
you, the NuGenix guy.
Yeah, the NuGenix guy, two sports star at Auburn, who just got a statue. Have you seen the Frank Thomas statue at Auburn?
Yes.
It's sick.
It's got NuGenix in it.
Yeah, it does.
Konerko on those teams?
I don't know.
Paul Konerko on those teams?
They were fun to watch. They had the old English socks, which was what everybody wanted. It was. They had a badass look about them. Now they're just bad in every sense of the word. And they're on the south side of Chicago, which probably isn't helping their cause.
Yeah, they had...
They got good snacks, though. They have like a s'mores milkshake that looks really good.
It's like the best kitchen in all of Major League Baseball, I hear.
Are you going to go and do a food review at their games, too?
If you would like to pay for my ticket to Chicago, yes, I will.
I would do it if I...
2000 Chicago White Sox.
Disposable income to send you to Chicago for no good reason.
95-67. Won the division.
Oh, okay.
Paul Konerko, Ray Durham, Jose Valentin, Herb Perry, Carlos Lee, Chris Singleton, Maglio Ordonez with Frank Thomas DHing.
That's pretty good.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Dude, I could get you. Oh, look at that. You know, this may be in the cards for you if you want to go on Spirit Airlines. Yeah.
I could be for that.
You're paying for each propeller blade, just remember.
Yeah, you'd have to wear exactly what you're wearing. I'm not paying for your bags or anything.
You have to pay to check a bag?
You have to pay to carry on a bag.
Carry on a bag.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, buddy, have you never flown the unfriendly skies of Spirit Airlines?
No, my parents are teachers. We do okay.
We're going $89 round trip. I can get you there. I could do that.
Yeah, we'll do a day trip. I'll make a video.
I'm sure, let's see, White Sox tickets. I'm sure those.
Oh, they're giving those away.
I bet you I can get in for $5.
I bet you could get in for free.
If I asked really nicely, like, hey, I'd like to go to the game. Why?
Look, I'm here.
I bet you there's people outside that arena, there, that stadium, handing out tickets.
Let me in.
Yeah. Let's see here. I bet we could get you in for $5. I bet we could get you in for less than $5. I bet we could be all in if you're just going to stay at the airport. I bet we could get you all in $100.
I would do this. I'm not kidding. I would get on a plane, fly down, go to the game, eat the food, fly back, same day. Do the whole thing? I bet you'd be more expensive for the food and the Uber.
Oh, I guarantee it would be.
Let's see here. Let's see what we can get. As low as $7 we can get you in.
Yeah.
I'm so down.
We get you in for $7.
I'll make a whole video of this thing. It'll be great.
We get you for $7.
I got to find a way to do like a. I need to do this during the NBA season. Go to a couple road trip games for like the cheapest possible method.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then just shoot a vlog, and then you can say you're working.
Yeah, no, I mean,
You're not even taking vacation.
Well, no, I'd be working in general, but also like make some content out of this.
Yeah. Who are they playing on? Oh, gosh.
They play the A's for the next five games? Four games.
Yeah. But August 26th, you can get in the door. I mean, that's probably a game that is going to be brutal. It's against the Tigers.
That'd be fun.
Day game.
Might see Scooble.
Oh, you could get
day game?
$4 tickets.
Day game, $4 tickets? I'm so down. I'll go. Do the Cubs play that night? I'll pay for that one on my own.
Yeah, you, golly, look at their tickets as low as 7, 15, 17, 9, 3, 3,
nasty
3,
work.
4, 3,
I think,
I think
the idea here is you get in for 3, and then we see how close to the field I can get.
You could be on the field.
Yeah.
They'd be like, yeah, come on down, man.
Two milkshakes, double fisting milkshakes down.
Yeah. Dang, let's do that. I think we may have something going on here.
Odyssey, call us.
Yep, there we go.
We probably got to crowdsource this.
Ah, no. No, we get you. No, we get. Yep, you get there. You could go.
Is it nonstop?
Nonstop on the 26th. You'd leave at 12:20 a.m., get there by 6:21 a.m., and the game is at 11:10 a.m.
No, I could get into so much mischief.
Yeah.
Red eye into Chicago. I like it.
And then we could get you back. We could get you back at, jeez, the cheap tickets for getting back are, you'd leave at 12:49 a.m. You'd be there for less than 24 hours.
Literally double red eye.
That's plenty of time, though. I could, in that time, I could go down, have a good time pregame, go do the White Sox thing, and then for work purposes, I would have to hit the town of Chicago, see if I could get on one of those boats, go sailgating.
Yeah.
And then I go back to the airport.
Wait, do you know where their stadium is in South Chicago?
The south side?
Do I need to check in with, like,
I don't think
Lil Durk?
You're not sailgating anywhere.
No, that's in Chicago, though. That's on the lake or whatever. Go hang out. No, I wouldn't sailgate.
I think we need a Wikipedia map for you.
No. I'm just saying, like, sailgate, like, in Chicago. They do a lot of stuff on the water.
They do. Not near where the White Sox play.
All right, coming up next, Ryan Krauser, best Oregonian athlete I've ever. Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.